Hi, I'm Sean. I've always been curious about the answers to life's big questions. I thought it would be cool to seek some of those answers through conversations with others on a similar path. My intention with these conversations is to inspire you to think bigger, to challenge what you believe to be possible. I'd like to invite you to think outside the lines. Hey, it's Sean, and I want to welcome you to the Think Outside the Lines podcast. My mission is to bring you insightful conversations with thought leaders who are doing their part to make the world a better place. Now, if you haven't yet, be sure to head over to thinkoutsidethelines.com, where you can learn more about me, about the podcast, and while you're there, be sure to check out our all-new virtual coaching services. And if you aren't already, please give us a follow on Instagram. You can find us at Think Outside the Lines. And lastly, I'd love if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review for the show. I've got some amazing guests coming up, and the best way for new listeners to discover the show is for Apple to promote it. And they do this when a show receives great reviews in addition to streams and downloads. Now, before I introduce my guest today, I want to begin with a quick disclaimer. I invite people from various disciplines on the show to discuss their areas of expertise. And of course, you should always do research of your own before applying these concepts in your life, particularly when it comes to areas of money. And with that, my guest today is the chief marketing officer of a company called Proactive, whose mission is to lift millions of families from the paycheck to paycheck grind while helping them eliminate debt permanently through a concept he calls digital cash envelopes. He's an accomplished trainer and speaker with a gift for bringing an audience to their feet with excitement in one moment to wiping tears from their eyes with emotion the next. I'm really excited to share his mission with you today. It's time to think outside the lines with Shane Walker. Tell me what you are doing to make the world a better place.
So, my name is Shane Walker, and my mission is to create a banking platform that, if simply used, will create financial wellness. And there's no secret that the biggest cause of stress in our world today is because of finances. And truthfully, it's tearing apart marriages, taking down companies. And I honestly feel like that it is stifling the creativity of the American people because of that pressure. And so I just imagine a world where there is a system in place where people, families can be free, individuals can be free, and can unleash that power to make the world a better place.
I love this so much, and I agree with you. It's a really important topic. You mentioned that you've created this app, and I'm excited to dive into that. But first, I think you actually have a really interesting relationship with money. And I'd love if you could give us some context in terms of your background and maybe talk about why helping others with their finances is so important to you.
Absolutely. So growing up, I'm the ninth of 12 children. Yep, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
It is. And my dad was a teacher. My mom, a stay-at-home mom. And we lived in a four-bedroom, one-bathroom house. Eight of us were boys, and it was a hot pink. And that was embarrassing. So money was really, really tight. Honestly, I didn't know how we made it most months. And I remember my dad sharing many times that, you know, there were just the goodness of people in his classroom that knew of our struggle and would give us money, which was enough money to last through the end of the month or through the end of the week till he was paid again. Kind of a funny story is we never went out to eat, obviously, because feeding 12 children out to eat would cost us a fortune on what my dad made. But there was one time every 4 months every quarter through the school year. And that's when we got our report cards. And I don't know if you knew this, but McDonald's gave away free hamburgers. I don't know if they still do this, but they gave away free hamburgers with a good report card. And so if you can imagine 10 children ages, well, from 12th grade down to kindergarten, taking their report cards in and getting 10 free hamburgers, that was the Walkers.
I cannot imagine that, but I also think that's really like a cool incentive to like ask your kids to get good grades.
You know what? And we actually did. It really is true. We did. And then to make it more embarrassing, we would bring our own Kool-Aid, carrot sticks, chips, because we didn't have the money to buy drinks and fries. And that was just the fact of the matter. And I look back at that, and I'm really grateful I was the ninth. I was the third grader, right, of the group, and didn't really know what embarrassment was. But you know, that being said, my parents never used food stamps. They never got assistance. And I remember growing as we grew up. I think I was probably 6 or 7, maybe 8, and I started helping hoe beets and onions to remove weeds through the fields. We'd get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and my uncle actually owned the farm, but he would pay us for doing that. And my dad would work alongside us in the summer because he was off school. And we would give all the money we made to my mom and dad to provide for us. And that really taught us work ethic at a young age. But not only did we do that, but my dad somehow knew when it was getting dull and grueling, you know, working, and he would say, hey, let's go jump in the river, or let's play this fun game. And he would take little breaks, 10, 15 minute breaks to bring the fun back. And then we would go back to work. And honestly, I look back at those days now fondly, because we worked together as a family. We learned to work hard. We learned what the value of money was. And that's greatly impacted my life today.
I actually love that story, because I think that we hear so much in our society that, you know, money doesn't bring happiness and that sort of thing. And I think it can definitely help solve a lot of problems that correlate to happiness. But I think the story you just illustrated basically tells us that, like, you guys seem like you still had a great family and a great life, despite the fact that you didn't have a lot of money. Right. And so I think that, you know, those stories are really helpful. I think, especially when people are going through hard times, like, it's important to remember that, like, there's other things in life that can bring happiness and fulfillment. Right.
It's very true. I am a big proponent of that. Let me actually share one funny story. Okay. So growing up, when I was younger, we had a Volkswagen Bug that would never start. And to start it, you'd have to push start it.
So oh my gosh.
Our siblings would go to high school, and at the end of the day, they'd push start this this Volkswagen Bug. So anyways, that conked out, and we got this brown, it was actually poop brown Toyota Corolla. And I don't know if anything but the radio worked on that thing. The windshield wipers, when it would rain, we'd have to get a cloth and wipe the windshield. There was no lock in the trunk. And the thing backfired like you wouldn't believe. Every time you let off the gas, it was like boom, 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 boom. And the worst part of it was when you would drive into school and you would turn it off, it would like go, then just backfire. Boom! And it was like we'd all get out of the car. Yo, the walkers are here, you know?
That's funny.
And that was really embarrassing, Sean. I mean, when I was in junior high and my mom would come and pick me up in that car, I would like lean down in the car so none of my friends could see me. I would hide. I'd run out the car, get in, and act like I was tying my shoes until she got off of the school parking lot. But, you know, as a result of that experience, I learned to not care about what I drove, what I wore, and I learned to care more about what was inside. And my dad talked to us a lot about that, that really it's what's inside, the character within, that makes the individual. And so another powerful lesson learned from growing up in poverty, right?
That's crazy. I think that I think this conversation is really important, because I think aside from health, I think money is typically the most stressful factor in our lives, right? Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about the psychology behind budgeting and debt, and why this issue is so complicated for people, for a lot of people?
Sure. Yeah, sure. So budgeting is an interesting thing, because if you're making an income, the most important habit to create financial wellness is budgeting. yet it's so difficult to do. As a country, we're horrible at it. I don't know the exact statistic, but I would say over 80% of people just kind of throw in the towel and say, ah, it's just not worth the hassle. And I think that comes down to several different things. One is, living in a microwave society, it's difficult to have a budget that's separate from banking. When those two things aren't together, we create our budget, which takes time, right? You have to track what you're spending in each of your categories or each of your areas of the budget. And so you first have to create that. Then you go to spend. And because they're not connected, as you spend, you really don't have your budget in front of you to curb spending or change that behavior. And so then at the end of the month, if you do take the time, few people do, to track their spending or do their spending in comparison with their budget, they've generally overspent, which feels bad. And that feeling of negativity and bad isn't comfortable. So after a couple of months of experiencing the time requirements to do it, and then feeling bad at the end, they throw in the towel. And that's kind of what happens with budgeting.
Yeah, I think that there's something really interesting in there that I know that your app actually solves part of this problem, but it's the fact that we used to budget with cash, right? So you could have like a cash envelope that you pulled from every day, and then you could see that slowly dwindling, whereas most people don't check their bank accounts every day in that same way, right? And I know that, like I said, I know your app addresses a lot of that, and we'll get to that in just a second. You sent over a book that your business partner Ryan wrote called The Order of Wealth. And I think there's actually some really important ideas in the book, and I'll, of course, link to it in the show notes. But the reason I bring this up is because I don't think that you can address the surface issues until we talk, at least touch upon the more systemic issues around money in our society. And I know that we can't possibly address all of those issues over the course of this one conversation, but I do want to briefly cover what I believe is the most important section of the book, which is where he talks about the real cost of life. Or the real cost of real life, rather. And in that section, he covers six different areas. And I'd like to go through each one briefly because I think it will help give listeners some context for the rest of the conversation. So can you touch briefly upon, let's just go through the six areas. So the first one is inflation, and just talk a little bit about how that impacts our lives.
Absolutely. Inflation is much bigger than we think. I actually sat down the other day and just said, okay, if the average household makes $60,000 and the inflation rate is only 3%, and Sean, the interesting thing is if you look at the cost of fuel, I graduated from high school about 20 years ago, and I could buy a gallon of gas for 97 cents, I remember, and currently it's $3.35. So in 20 years, the cost of fuel has over tripled, right? And so the inflation rate is more like 5%. If you compare apples to apples, Campbell's soup to Campbell's soup, gallon of gas to gallon of gas, hamburger to hamburger, right? Same quality, and education and medical, right?
I would guess medical has increased even more significantly over the last 20 years.
Absolutely, yeah. It is. So I actually put 5% as my number after I counted all those things. And so $60,000 today for me, when I turn 65, I'm going to have to spend over $230,000 to spend like $60,000 does today.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's crazy.
The next thing on the list is taxes. And I think that what's interesting about this is there's much more than just income taxes, which is, I think, how we associate the word taxes. Mm-hmm. There's tons of lesser known taxes that we're paying basically every day. Can you touch upon some of those?
Yeah, sales tax, property tax, Social Security, and all of the self-employment taxes that really those who are in their younger years, earlier than 50, probably won't see money from that. And when you count all of those dollars up, we're spending anywhere from 30 to 60% on taxes.
That's insane.
Yeah, it is.
what about new inventions as it relates to like products and services?
Well, so we live in a society where everyone wants the latest thing, right? And in the past, there were products were developed to be high quality and to last a long time, where today they're produced to last for a year or two. And with every new invention, with the new iPhone, man, I've got to have it, right? I've got to have it. So that feeling of need for the brand new thing is very expensive. But we live in a world that demands that.
Yeah, that one is particularly interesting, especially in 2019, because there's a concept called planned obsolescence that I think is thrown around a lot in like the tech sector. And I think that people kind of misinterpret, I guess there's two layers to it, right? So one of those, and if you take the iPhone, for example, it's the one theory is that Apple is planning, you know, when they design their products, it's so that they will no longer function in 3 to 5 years or, you know, whatever that given time frame is. But then there's another layer to that I don't think is something that people think about as much. And it's the fact that you're going to want the new thing, right? So even if your old one still works, which I think is the case for most people, I mean, yes, if you keep your iPhone for 5 years, it's probably going to slow down and, you know, or break or whatever. But, there's also that, you know, psychological factor that you're going to want the new thing. Right. And I think that absolutely. We don't, especially people that are on a budget, you know, they might not be, you know, budgeting for those kind of things. So there's a lot of this, I think, that we take for granted. And it's really interesting stuff.
So true. It's frustrating.
Yeah, for sure.
For family, it's very frustrating.
Yeah, for sure. There's also the increased standard of living. And I think this probably correlates ever so slightly to things like inflation. But can you talk a little bit about just the general standard of living increases?
Yeah. So it's interesting to watch the new generation, the millennials, and because their parents drove the brand new car, you know, with the more luxury models, they come out of college thinking that's what they deserve. And you can trace that through computers, cell phone, speakers, audiovisual systems in their homes, and consequently our standard of living, size of homes, number of bathrooms, number of rooms continues to escalate. And as someone buys into that thought process, it's impossible to be financially well.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that. I think that, you know, I grew up in pretty middle-class family in Southern California. And I definitely watched all of those things happen that you just described. And I think that caused me to, it's an interesting contrast, right? Because I think that there's something great about the notion to aspire to have those things. Right. But then there's also another layer beneath that where sometimes you just think that you deserve those things by default. And that's not always the case, right? And so I think reconciling all of that is particularly a fascinating part of that. The other thing that I find interesting too, and I think it's probably more in like the products and services / new inventions realm, but like when I was growing up, you had to spend money on like every time you wanted to participate in something. So for example, going to a movie. Now we have like these subscription services where you can, you know, go pay AMC $20 and you can basically go see unlimited movies for the month. You used to have to go and buy a physical, like a media, right? So if you wanted to buy like a home video, or if you wanted to buy, you know, a compact disc or something like that, you had to actually go and physically spend money on that one thing. Whereas now you pay for all these subscription services that give you unlimited, but are we spending less or are we spending more? I think that's like a really interesting, you know, question to be asking, because like, I don't know if I spent $120 a year on music. Maybe I did, but now you are. You know what I mean? And you don't even have anything tangible to show for that. So I think there's a lot of really interesting stuff in here, and the book dives much deeper into a lot of it, but it's cool stuff to think about. Can you talk a bit about the time value of money?
Yes. So I think I touched upon that with really inflation. So today, the power of a dollar and what it will buy is greater than that same dollar in 5 years from now because of what's happening with inflation, which things are continuously raising in price, which degrades that value, right? So the time value of money continues to decrease as time goes on. I don't know if that's what you're looking for, but that's pretty much the idea. And very few people realize that or think about that. They very much say, okay, so it costs me $100,000 to live today. So when I retire in 15 years, if I want to live on $100,000, here's how much I need to make, right? And if my rate of return is this. And they fail to realize, well, okay, so in 5 years from now, that $100,000 is going to spend like $80,000 today. So you're going to need to make another $25,000 in order to and spend $125,000 to feel like you're living at $100,000 today.
Yeah, and I'm imagining that's probably pretty scary for some people listening right now. The last thing that we did forget to touch upon, and I apologize, in the six areas in the book, the last one was unexpected life events. And I think that that's also obviously really important, right? Because there's health issues that can come up. There's, you know, pets. There's all kinds of interesting things that can fall into that bracket. So,
yes,
interesting stuff. So yes, all of this stuff is very stressful, but you have actually come up with a potential solution for people. And I'd love for you to talk a little bit about the app that you guys have created. It's called Proactive. So tell us who it's for and talk maybe a little bit about what the experience is like for the user.
I would love to. This is something I'm so passionate about, Sean. I feel like it is a complete game changer in the personal finance, personal wellness space. And I guess let me just kind of step back and share with you our journey with this. Both Ryan and I come from financial service backgrounds once we started our careers. And it was very frustrating and disheartening to see how many people were caught in this paycheck to paycheck grind and covered in debt. And there was really not a good answer for them. And actually, this is Ryan's story, but he met with a couple. He was a doctor making over $300,000 a year, and they were spending every dime and more. And he looked at everything that they were doing, and he actually got excited because he said, man, you guys are in a situation with a few simple tweaks. We can really change your financial situation and get rid of this debt and really move forward and give you peace with money. Anyway, so he got on one of the existing budgeting platforms. I won't name a name. It exists today. And they put together the budget and spent a lot of time. And within 2 months, they'd fallen off of it because it was just so easy just to go around it and not use it. And it really frustrated him. So as we looked at the purpose of budgeting, really the purpose of budgeting is to change the behavior of spending. And so if budgeting is to change the behavior of spending, it must connect budgeting and banking as one, right? And all the platforms out there were like, what curbs spending or what changes behavior the best? And the one that kept on hitting us in the face was cash envelopes. And it's interesting. Then we kind of looked at why is cash envelopes so powerful? What are the components of it that really are so effective in changing behavior? And we came down to three major things. One of those is that you're using real money. When you spend it, it's gone. And as you spend it, it immediately reflects the balance. Immediately reflects the spend. The second thing is that you actually assign a job for each dollar, and it creates organization. And then the third is perhaps my favorite, and that is you actually consult your budget. You look at what you have before each spend, and although subconsciously, you make a decision whether you should make that spend or not. The problem is it's cash, right? And most people get the cash out of the ATM. It's only in $20 bills. Not everyone budgets on $20 bills. If your spouse has the envelope, you don't. You know, all of these things and the online buying and everything that our world has created to make spending convenient that's actually made us spend out of control, cash doesn't allow us to do a lot of that. So in looking at this, what proactive does is it exactly mimics those behaviors. And what I mean by that is you actually have real money in account and your envelopes reflect real balances, okay? So when you spend the money, it's gone. and it reflects those spends. So for example, I just recently went to the grocery store and I went in, picked out the items that we needed. I opened up my app with a thumbprint, opened a category, processed that card, and immediately it reflected the transaction and what the balance in our grocery budget for the rest of the month. And that updated on both my wife's and I's phones simultaneously. And she can have a category open at the same time as I. So we're using real money, one. The second thing is when the money comes in, so you actually have an external account connected to your proactive budget account, which is an member FDIC insured bank. And when that money comes into proactive, it comes in as undistributed. And in the undistributed status, you cannot transfer the money or open the money or put it on the card. Consequently, it can't be spent. So the app requires you to first assign each dollar a category. And so that fulfills that. And the cool thing is we've made that very simple within the app, within Proactive. We have created the ability to do custom distribution plans, which with a push of a button, your money is distributed into your categories instantaneously according to your plan. So that fulfills that, assign a dollar, a job for every dollar. And then the third thing is the requirement to make the decision before you spend or consult your budget. And this is, like I said, my favorite. This is what really, I believe, changes behavior. So when you have your dollar, your money in those categories, that debit card, I wish I could show you, but there's actually a proactive debit card, physical card, as well as a virtual card. And that card is default zero, meaning that if you swipe that card without first opening a category, it declines because there's no money on the card. So to spend money, you first have to push spend in the app, which opens that category. And say, let's say I have $400 in my grocery envelope. That $400 would then transfer over to the card and processes as quick as any other card. And as soon as, let's say I spend $35, the $365 that is left in that category transfers back to the envelope, and the card goes back to a default zero balance, and it reflects on both my wife and I's apps because we have companion cards. So it requires you to look at your budget, make sure that that's the spend you want to make, and push spend. Once you're out of the money in that category, you're out of the money. Now you can look at your categories and transfer money from another category if you feel like that you need more money in your grocery category. And we've made that very simple and very easy. But again, it makes spending and banking, budgeting and banking, one and the same, held in the palm of your hand. And it updates, you're using real money. So everything functions in real time.
I love this so much because I feel like it forces you to think about every purchase that you're going to make, which is, I think, the reason why people go over their budgets most of the time, right? It's because they're just like, whatever, I'll figure it out later. Where it's like, no, you actually have to figure this out right now. And I think that's a really cool way to like force people to make those decisions. I also feel like this could be really cool for teaching kids about budgeting and giving them like their own, you know, version of the app with an allocated funds.
We agree completely. So today we have the app has been built for companion cards, and truthfully it's for discretionary income only because that's where people get in trouble. There we have a lot of plans with a complete debt snowball automated for you, and some really neat things that we have coming forward that really creates a banking platform where if somebody will simply use it, creates financial health. And we have a lot of ideas of what that will look like. But our next phase is building the kid card. And the unique thing about the kid card is it will not only be connected to the kids' the children's account, where they have their own categories and they can learn to budget their own money. But a parent, as an administrator, can actually share a portion of a category, say a grocery category, with that child, which transferred over to their card, their debit card, to pick up whatever groceries you need at the store while they're at practice, and it syncs with the family budget. We're excited about that because it allows the child to share in the family budget and learn how money really works, so that then they can practice those exact same skills within their own budget. And I feel like if we can catch kids at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, they will be light years ahead of their peers, because just the pure understanding of this is real money. It's not a card that has endless dollars. It's real money, and it, as you spend it, it's gone, and this is all you have, you know?
Amen. I feel like when I got a $20 bill when I was that age, that was like $100 at that time. And you know what I mean? But you also had to think about, like, okay, cool. If I spend, you know, $5 here, I'm going to have 15 left. And you have to kind of strategize with that. So I think it's funny because I love this concept so much. And I'm excited to kind of dive into the app a little bit myself. But in theory, when I first heard about it, I thought, oh, that sounds like a cool idea. But listening to you describe it, like, it sounds really awesome. And I feel like it could really help people.
We hope so.
Yeah.
That's our vision.
One of the things you say is that it could actually help people overcome mental blocks, which I personally believe is critical if someone's going to gain any sort of control over this area of their life.
Yes.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Let me just share my wife and I's story. I think you'll hear a lot of mental blocks that it's helped us overcome. So my wife is also from a large family of six. She's the second of six. Her dad was also a teacher. Her mom was also a stay-at-home mom from a small community. And so we both grew up with this scarcity mentality when it comes to money. And so when we got married, we literally lived in a very cold area, and we did not turn on our heat. We just used space heaters because we wanted to conserve money. We rationed our cheese, our milk. We actually bought whole milk, put another gallon of water in that to make 2 gallons. I mean, crazy stuff, Sean. Because of this scarcity mentality. And I'm thankful. We actually graduated from college without any debt as a result of living that way. But our philosophy was, if you don't absolutely need it, don't buy it, which is unhealthy, really. It keeps you from having and enjoying the abundance of life. So we have enjoyed some success in life, business-wise. And so about 3 years ago, we bought our dream home here in Fruitland, Idaho. And with a dream home comes furniture and appliances and toys and lawnmowers and all this lawn equipment and so forth. And so we went on this massive spending spree just to fill the needs of a home. And like, it gave us so much anxiety. It was very difficult for us. And when we started using Proactive several months ago, after we had perfected it, and I can't tell you the peace of mind that it's created for Carissa and I, because now we're both on the same page. We always know we've created the budget together. We've created the controls within the budget. We both decided on those together. The technology says no to us instead of each other saying no to us. And so it's created this real time. We know exactly where we're at, and we feel comfortable spending money because we've already allocated this money for that purpose, for family fun, to go skiing, to go, you know what I mean? And to go on dates and to go out to eat and all these things and to give to others, where it was always like, well, do we have the money to do that? And it was like a 3-day process deciding whether we should give to this mission trip or whatever. Well, now we have a budget for it, and it's an easy decision to say, you know what, that's a worthy cause. We've budgeted this money for it. Let's do it.
Well, I think you also touched upon something really important in there that people may have glossed over, but you said the app tells us no as opposed to each other telling us no. And I can tell you that, like, I don't know the statistic exactly, but a significant amount of arguments in a relationship are based on financial issues, right? So yes. If you're helping to solve for that one problem alone, I mean, this is a golden opportunity for some people.
You're giving me chills, Sean.
Yeah.
That's how we feel. The statistic is 2/3 of the disputes in marriage are over money, and our tagline is proactive companion cards, never fight about money again.
I love it. Hey, listen, that's 2/3 is, I was going to make up a statistic that was probably not quite that high, so the fact that it's higher than what I thought is pretty intense. What other kind of feedback have you received from users so far? How is it helping people?
One of the most unique feedback that we've received is, initially we were thinking, you know what, we really want to help people like go back in history and determine on average how much have you spent on entertainment. You know, the technology is there to aggregate accounts and so forth. You know, how much they've spent on fuel, how much they've spent on all these things. An interesting piece of feedback has been, you know what, Shane? We really love that isn't there. Because then we come in and we're like, we know what we want to spend on groceries, and we know what we want to spend on fuel, and we know what we want to spend on entertainment. And now we have the tool to live by that budget, the optimal budget, and move forward financially. That's been really unique, because initially we thought we need to provide this information because people are going to struggle knowing, you know. But I guess in addition to that, it's been really neat to watch families that didn't have any money at the end of the month or were stressed because they only had $5 in their account. And now at the end of the month, they have $300 to $1,000 in their account.
Wow,
simply,
that's amazing.
Having a tool, isn't it though?
It is. So here's the thing. I'm actually a big believer in 2019. People that are using technology for good, there's something about that I just feel is so important, because you see so many companies, like whether it's Facebook with data privacy, or, you know, there's a lot of examples I could point to, but technology is being used for bad or not for good, right? And I think what I love about your app is that it is truly helping people, and it's helping them with something that is such a significant, you know, issue in the lives of so many. And I'm really inspired by what you're doing, because I think that it's really going to help a lot of people.
Well, thank you. We have a dream. We really do. And we feel very passionate about keeping our mission and our purpose very user-centered, that this is created for the user to impact their life for the good and not use it to get all this data and try to sell people a bunch of stuff. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
to be a pure, intentional, help people have a positive impact financially, become free, families become free, the American dream. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Can you talk a little bit about how you see the future of the financial space and how apps like yours might integrate?
So the truth is in the financial world today, there are smart people that have figured out how to create a flow of money. Money is meant to flow. That's just the nature of money, and they've created the money to flow back to them, right? That's why 5% of people control 95% of the wealth. Banks have become very efficient at that, right? And so I see an app like this helping people realize how to create that same flow of money back to them. And to truly put the customer or the user in control of their lives. And I see good people being financially free will have a powerful impact, because when stress is removed, focus and creativity is born. I really believe that. And who knows what the next invention and what the next change in the world is going to be because of financial freedom. And I really believe that we are in a space that can really make an impact. And the cool thing, Sean, is we have associated ourselves. We actually attend FinCon. PT Money founded that. I can't remember when, but we've been there. And there is a group of people that believe in financial wellness, or as passionate about financial wellness as the physical fitness space, you know, the trainers and so forth are about health. And it is exciting, the passion that I see in the eyes and the hearts of thousands of people in this space. And it's really unique to watch corporations, huge corporations, realizing how important personal finance is to their profitability and their success. And that movement is taking place, and I see Proactive coming into the marketplace at a perfect time to provide a tool for companies and individuals, families, to create the financial wellness that they've been seeking.
Yeah, I agree. And I love that technology is giving us these kind of tools to really take control of our lives in so many different directions. And I really, really love what you guys are doing. I actually hardly ever have people on the show to promote a product, but I'm really passionate about what you guys are doing. So
thank you,
it's
Sean.
Good stuff. It's good stuff. Tell me what has you hopeful. It's a question I ask all of my guests, and you can go wherever you want with that. But I think it's an important question right now.
Ask me that question one more time. I don't think I heard it.
Tell me what has you hopeful.
People, the goodness of people have me hopeful. I, like I said, in going to FinCon, and also Ryan, we met in college, became good friends there, and his passion and mission for doing good is very inspiring. And so there is a ton of good in this world. There's a ton of good in people. And there is a fight that I see around me with the people I surround myself with that want America and the freedoms that we stand for to continue for generations to come. And that is very inspiring to me. In the grassroots of this nation, we lived in the Midwest for 10 years, and just people who love family, who love work, who want to do good in the world around them. And that nucleus, I believe, can raise a generation that will maintain our freedoms, and that brings me hope.
I agree, and I think what I'm hearing in that is that you believe that people are inherently good, as do I, and so I think that's a great message to end on. Shane, thank you so much for chatting with me today. I think that what you're doing is incredibly important, and it's work around an issue that touches the lives of everyone. So thank you for helping people in this way. Tell people how we can connect with you and get the app and maybe learn more about what you're up to.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sean. This has been the best interview I've done.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been really, really a good interview. So you can connect with us if you search Proactive Budget on the App Store, iOS. We're the first app that comes up, and there's some really good screenshots that kind of educate you about our app. There's also a lot of really good education on our website, proactivebudget.com. And if you should go start here, you can see where you can sign up as an Android user or the web app or iOS. Testimonials, and this is something where we're really developing and are going to provide some great educational tools. You can also go to our YouTube channel, Proactive Budget, and find some great testimonials and things like that as well. very difficult for us. And when we started using Proactive several months ago, after we had perfected it, and I can't tell you the peace of mind that it's created for Carissa and I, because now we're both on the same page. We always know we've created the budget together. We've created the controls within the budget. We both decided on those together. The technology says no to us instead of each other saying no to us. And so it's created this real time. We know exactly where we're at, and we feel comfortable spending money because we've already allocated this money for that purpose, for family fun, to go skiing, to go, you know what I mean? And to go on dates and to go out to eat and all these things and to give to others, where it was always like, well, do we have the money to do that? And it was like a 3-day process deciding whether we should give to this mission trip or whatever. Well, now we have a budget for it, and it's an easy decision to say, you know what, that's a worthy cause. We've budgeted this money for it. Let's do it.
Well, I think you also touched upon something really important in there that people may have glossed over, but you said the app tells us no as opposed to each other telling us no. And I can tell you that, like, I don't know the statistic exactly, but a significant amount of arguments in a relationship are based on financial issues, right? So yes. If you're helping to solve for that one problem alone, I mean, this is a golden opportunity for some people.
You're giving me chills, Sean.
Yeah.
That's how we feel. The statistic is 2/3 of the disputes in marriage are over money. And our tagline is Proactive companion cards. Never fight about money again.
I love it. Hey, listen, that's 2/3 is... I was going to make up a statistic that was probably not quite that high. So the fact that it's higher than what I thought is pretty intense. What other kind of feedback have you received from users so far? How is it helping people?
One of the most unique feedback that we've received is initially we were thinking, you know what, we really want to help people like go back in history and determine on average how much have you spent on entertainment. You know, the technology is there to aggregate accounts and so forth. You know, how much they've spent on fuel, how much they've spent on all these things. An interesting piece of feedback has been, you know what, Shane? We really love that isn't there. Because then we come in and we're like, we know what we want to spend on groceries, and we know what we want to spend on fuel, we know what we want to spend on entertainment. And now we have the tool to live by that budget, the optimal budget, and move forward financially. That's been really unique because initially we thought we need to provide this information because people are going to struggle knowing, you know. But I guess in addition to that, it's been really neat to watch families that didn't have any money at the end of the month or were stressed because they only had $5 in their account. And now at the end of the month, they have $300 to $1,000 in their account.
Wow, simply that's amazing.
Having a tool, isn't it though?
It is. So here's the thing. I'm actually a big believer in 2019. People that are using technology for good. There's something about that I just feel is so important because you see so many companies, like whether it's Facebook with data privacy or, you know, there's a lot of examples I could point to, but technology is being used for bad or not for good. Right. And I think what I love about your app is that it is truly helping people, and it's helping them with something that is such a significant, you know, issue in the lives of so many. And I'm really inspired by what you're doing because I think that it's really going to help a lot of people.
Well, thank you. We have a dream. We really do. And we feel very passionate about keeping our mission and our purpose very user-centered, that this is created for the user to impact their life for the good and not use it to get all this data and try to sell people a bunch of stuff. You know what I mean? But yeah. to be a pure, intentional, help people have a positive impact financially, become free, families become free, the American dream. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Can you talk a little bit about how you see the future of the financial space and how apps like yours might integrate?
So the truth is in the financial world today, there are smart people that have figured out how to create a flow of money. Money is meant to flow. That's just the nature of money, and they've created the money to flow back to them, right? That's why 5% of people control 95% of the wealth. Banks have become very efficient at that, right? And so I see an app like this helping people realize how to create that same flow of money back to them. And to truly put the customer or the user in control of their lives. And I see good people being financially free will have a powerful impact, because when stress is removed, focus and creativity is born. I really believe that. And who knows what the next invention and what the next change in the world is going to be because of financial freedom. And I really believe that we are in a space that can really make an impact. And the cool thing, Sean, is we have associated ourselves. We actually attend FinCon. PT Money founded that. I can't remember when, but we've been there. And there is a group of people that believe in financial wellness, or as passionate about financial wellness as the physical fitness space, you know, the trainers and so forth are about health. And it is exciting, the passion that I see in the eyes and the hearts of thousands of people in this space. And it's really unique to watch corporations, huge corporations, realizing how important personal finance is to their profitability and their success. And that movement is taking place, and I see Proactive coming into the marketplace at a perfect time to provide a tool for companies and individuals, families, to create the financial wellness that they've been seeking.
Yeah, I agree. And I love that technology is giving us these kind of tools to really take control of our lives in so many different directions. And I really, really love what you guys are doing. I actually hardly ever have people on the show to promote a product. But I'm really passionate about what you guys are doing. So
thank you,
Sean. Good stuff. It's good stuff. Tell me what has you hopeful. It's a question I ask all of my guests, and you can go wherever you want with that. But I think it's an important question right now.
Ask me that question one more time. I don't think I heard it.
Tell me what has you hopeful.
That is a great question. You know, people, the goodness of people have me hopeful. I, like I said, in going to FinCon, and also Ryan, we met in college, became good friends there, and his passion and mission for doing good is very inspiring. And so there is a ton of good in this world. There's a ton of good in people, and there is a fight that I see around me with the people I surround myself with that want America and the freedoms that we stand for to continue for generations to come. And that is very inspiring to me. In the grassroots of this nation, we lived in the Midwest for 10 years, and just people who love family, who love work, who want to do good in the world around them. And that nucleus, I believe, can raise a generation that will maintain our freedoms. And that brings me hope.
I agree. And I think what I'm hearing in that is that you believe that people are inherently good, as do I. And so I think that's a great message to end on. Shane, thank you so much for chatting with me today. I think that what you're doing is incredibly important. And it's work around an issue that touches the lives of everyone. So thank you for helping people in this way. Tell people how we can connect with you and get the app and maybe learn more about what you're up to.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sean. This has been the best interview I've done.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Yeah. It's been really, really a good interview. So you can connect with us if you search Proactive Budget on the App Store, iOS. We're the first app that comes up, And there's some really good screenshots that kind of educate you about our app. There's also a lot of really good education on our website, proactivebudget.com. And if you should go start here, you can see where you can sign up as an Android user or the web app or iOS. Testimonials, and this is something where we're really developing and are going to provide some great educational tools. You can also go to our YouTube channel, Proactive Budget, and find some great testimonials and things like that as well.
All right, I'd like to thank you so much for listening today. Now, if you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts, as it's the best way to discover new episodes of the show. And please be sure to share this episode with anyone you think could benefit from hearing it. Now, you can find the links for everything we talk about in the show notes, in addition to coaching services and so much more. Just head over to thinkoutsidethelines.com. And feel free to drop me a line with any questions or feedback you have on the show. You can send an email anytime to hello@thinkoutsidethelines.com. Until next time, go out there and pursue your passion today, because the best way to predict the future is to create it. For more information, please visit thinkoutsidethelines.com.